So good to have all of you here today. I know that we have a lot of guests who are here with us to watch people get baptized, so we're really, really excited to have all of you in the house, and for those of you who are watching online, we're super grateful to have you joining us as well here today. We have spent such a powerful morning already just watching all of these people go public with their faith, and since July 1 of this past year, 2023, we've had 466 people who have indicated to us that they have made a salvation decision in this church in one of our services. And we've now, after today, it'll be 178 of those people who have been baptized. So we're super excited to just come along, every person who is making a decision, whatever that spiritual decision is. Well, we're in week two of a series on heaven. And before we start that, I just want to take a moment. Let's pray together. Father, so grateful for all that we've seen here today, songs that we've, Lord, lifted up to you, every single person that, who has entered these tubs, Lord, and followed Jesus in baptism. We're so grateful for their decision, Lord, to make a public declaration of a decision that was made in their lives, Lord, in the past. And we celebrate with them. I know that, Father, angels in heaven are celebrating along with the people, the residents of heaven, and we're going to talk about that, and we just can't wait to see what that looks like. So as we dive in this morning, give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Lord, we want to just follow you with our whole hearts. We want to put Jesus on display. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, we covered the basics of heaven. I called that Heaven 101, and we answered just three basic questions about heaven. We talked about what it is. What is heaven? Who will go to heaven? When will we go to heaven? And then who will be there? And so if you want to go back and listen to that, it's online. You can go back and get caught up on the series if you're just joining us for the first time. But I want to start off this morning with a statement that may blow some of your minds. When I first heard this, and I grew up in church and went to Bible college, the whole thing, and seminary, when I first heard this, it kind of blew my mind. And here it is. Ready? The heaven where people go now is not our final destination. The heaven where people go now is not our final destination. Oftentimes when we think about heaven, or we sing about heaven, or we talk about heaven, we think of streets of gold, or gates made of pearl, or walls made of jasper, or a river with water of life flowing from the throne of God, and so, so much more. However, there is a present heaven, and there is a future heaven. Matter of fact, the Bible actually describes four different heavens. Four different heavens. In Genesis chapter 1, this is what we read in Genesis chapter 1. It says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens is plural, and the word earth is singular. That means that there are more than one heaven. The Book of Psalms, David writes about the first heaven. He speaks about the sky or the earth's atmosphere. In Psalm chapter 8, verse 8, he describes the birds of the heavens, talking about what we see outside right now. There's also a second heaven. In that same chapter of Psalm chapter 8, David also uses the word heaven to describe outer space, like the universe or galaxies. He says in verse 3, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you set in place. There's also a third heaven, which is what we're going to talk about here this morning. This is the present heaven. Some people call it the intermediate heaven. This is what I'm going to call this morning the here and now. This is where God dwells with angels and every believer who have already died. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 says this: We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul tells us that to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. So there's a third heaven. But there's also a fourth heaven. And this is the one that we think about more. This is the one that we talk about. This is the new heaven and the new earth. We're going to discuss this heaven in the upcoming weeks. But again, this is the heaven that when we think about heaven, this is what we talk about. This is what we sing and describe. Now, there are some significant differences between heaven's current state and heaven's final state. The present intermediate heaven, the here and now, is in the angelic world. It's distinctly separate from earth. The future heaven, which is the new heaven and the new earth, will be in the human realm on earth. While the present heaven is up there, the eternal heaven is going to be down here. Revelation chapter 21 begins to describe what this new heaven and this new earth is going to look like. And here's what John saw. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" Author Chip Ingram says this about this new heaven. He says, God is going to make everything new. The word new isn't a reference to new in time and chronology. Rather, this word refers to new in quality and character. It is new in the sense that it is qualitatively an upgrade to the old earth. In other words, God has had a plan since Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to make all things new. And that is going to happen when God ushers in a new heaven and a new earth. However, there's a second question. What does heaven look like in the here and now? What does it look like in the here and now? If we were to die today, what is it that we would experience? Well, according to the Bible, when a follower of Jesus dies, they enter an intermediate state of eternity that exists between our time here on earth and our future in the new heaven and the new earth. Now, if you have a Catholic background, you're thinking right now, purgatory. That's what Pastor Brian's talking about right now. This is not purgatory, like some of you have been taught. Instead, it is a temporary place where we will hang out in Christ's presence, looking forward to our bodily resurrection and our permanent relocation to a new heaven and a new earth. It is not a temporary holding pattern where our final destination is determined. Hear me say this. The Bible teaches that once we die, our destination is determined. The present state of heaven, the here and now, is where we live with Christ until he establishes his new heaven and new earth. Author Randy Alcorn, he uses this illustration, and I think it's a good one. He talks about how if we were to fly out of Atlanta today and we were going to be flying to Honolulu, we wouldn't talk about the fact that we might have to stop halfway in Salt Lake City, right? If you had a layover in Salt Lake City where you flew from here to there and then had to get off there and probably switch terminals, switch a plane, the whole deal, you wouldn't tell somebody, if they asked you where you were going today, you wouldn't say, "Well, I'm going to Salt Lake City," right? You'd say, "I'm going to Honolulu." How many of you would love today to be going to Honolulu? Those who don't have your hands up, you obviously have never been to Honolulu, okay? Maybe the closest thing we get to heaven. But when we talk about going from like a place like here, like Atlanta to Honolulu, that's what we say. We're going to Honolulu. And similarly, the heaven we will go to when we die is a temporary stopping place on our way to our final destination, heaven. So when we talk about heaven, we don't always have to be using technical terms like present heaven or intermediate heaven or new earth. We just need to understand that there is a difference and that one day the here and now will become the ever after, the eternal heaven. Now, next Sunday, I'm going to jump back into some end time stuff. We did about 2 weeks of eschatology, which is the study of end times, the theology of end times. We did that in January in the book of Mark. We're going to jump back in. I'm actually going to go into some greater detail to give you a clearer picture of how the Bible tells us that all of this stuff about heaven is going to play out. However, for the sake of this morning's teaching, let's answer just a few questions about what this present heaven is going to look like. And I told you last week, my kind of style throughout this series is going to be to pose some questions and then answer them. Okay? And here's a question. Is the here and now a physical place? Well, since God is described in John chapter 4, verse 24 as a spirit, many people assume that this present heaven is not a physical place, but simply a place that exists in the spiritual world, in the spirit world, like in the spiritual realm. Saying that God is spirit is very different from saying that heaven is spirit. Heaven is not the same as God. Because God is all powerful, he can dwell in a spiritual or physical realm. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 8, before God establishes his new earth, which again starts in chapter 21, the temple in heaven, in this present heaven that we're talking about this morning, is filled with smoke. We're told that there are scrolls in heaven. Elders with faces are in heaven. There are martyrs who wear clothes. There's musical instruments in heaven. And horses are coming in and out of heaven. All right? I know some of you are like, are my dogs going to be in heaven? I don't know. Mine will be. I don't know about yours. Okay? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5 tells us that the earthly priests serve in a sanctuary that is a copy of what is in heaven. We like to think that heaven and earth will be complete opposites. I believe that heaven and earth are going to be a whole lot more alike than we think, except heaven will be void of the presence of evil and sin. Can you imagine that? The curse of sin is going to be gone forever. Can you imagine all of us hanging out with absolutely no sin? Well, what will our bodies be like? If this could be a physical place, what will our bodies like? Well, it's a tough question that I'm not sure has a really clear answer. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul was not extremely sure himself. He writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. He says, whether in the body or apart from the body, he says, I don't know, but God knows. Paul says, I don't know. However, and I think this is really significant, the Apostle Paul does not completely dismiss the fact that we might have some physical form in this intermediate state of heaven. If we have a body, it's going to be temporary. It's going to be in temporary form because one day our current bodies, this flesh that we live in, will be reunited with our spirit in the rapture of the church. And our dead bodies are going to be resurrected and made perfect. We're going to talk more about that next Sunday. But the bottom line is, guess what? You go to heaven, you're getting an upgrade. So it's hard to nail down exactly what we're going to look like in this intermediate part of eternity. But we can say with confidence that at the moment we die, God's children will go immediately into the presence of God. We will live in a real physical place called heaven, which is full of real angels and real humans who have real thoughts, real emotions, and identities based upon their lives and their relationships here on earth. Well then, okay, then what will life be like in the here and now? What's that going to be like? Well, there are three verses in the Bible, amongst a few others, that tell us a lot about what life in the intermediate heaven will be like. I want you to, if you have a Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 6. If you don't, we'll put these verses on the screen for you. In verse 9, again, this is a vision that God had given the Apostle John. He says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. And they cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. I believe that Revelation chapter 6 here happens during a great 7-year tribulation. Again, we'll lay that out next week. But there are several things that we can take from this passage of scripture that I think can help us to understand the here and now. Verse 9 tells us that the people in heaven will be remembered for their lives here on earth. These believers in verse 9 were known and identified as martyrs because of their stand for Christ. They died because they were Christians here on earth. Verse 10 tells us that they cried out, which means they could express themselves audibly in heaven. They raised their voices, which means there was emotion and passion in heaven. They asked God to intervene on earth and act on their behalf, which means they are aware of what is happening in heaven. They were free to ask questions in heaven, which indicates that we will have an audience with God in heaven. Verse 11 tells us that they were given white robes. They have a deep concern for justice and retribution, which means we're not going to be passively disinterested in what's going on earth while we're in heaven. The martyrs clearly remember their lives here on earth. In this present state of heaven, there seems to be time. The martyrs ask God a time-related question. They say, how long, sovereign Lord, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Remember now, we're not talking about the new heaven and the new earth. We're talking about a present heaven. And there is a connection between the people in heaven and the believers that are still here on earth. These martyrs call the people on earth fellow servants and brothers. The Open Doors watch list tells us that there are more than 360 million people right now who are suffering high levels of persecution for their faith across the globe. In 2022, the total number of Christians killed for their faith was 5,898. In 2023, that number was 5,621. That's more than 15 people who are dying for their faith every single day across the world. We've been praying for one of our adopted nations in Africa. It's a nation called Burkina Faso, which currently ranks 23 on the list of the top 50 nations for Christian persecution. This past week, listen to this. I read several things that indicated that there have been more than 70 million martyrs throughout history. This is who the Apostle John describes in Revelation chapter 6. I mean, think about what he's seeing. He saw a vision of 70 million martyred saints. And John tells us that God knows the story of each one of these people. He knows precisely how many martyrs there will be. And he's preparing to return a second time to earth when the final martyr dies. You say, well, will we remember life on earth in this here and now? Well, as I said a moment ago, the martyred saints in Revelation chapter 6 clearly remember some of what happened here on earth, including the fact that they endured great suffering. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, Jesus talks about the fact that Lazarus was comforted in heaven from the bad things that happened to him on earth. He knew about them. The Bible says in Matthew 12, 36, that when we die, we will give an account of our lives on earth down to the very words we speak. Malachi chapter 3 verse 16 talks about a book of remembrance being kept about those who are living on earth. Listen, it is obvious that we're going to remember our lives here on earth, including the people that we spent time with. And chances are our minds are going to be so sharp in heaven that we will remember events on earth with great clarity. Now, what will we see? Will we see what is happening on earth? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, I love this verse. Look on the screen with me. It says, therefore, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I love this image. This verse indicates that those who have gone before, who have died, who have gone before, they are seeing what is happening in our lives. Now, we don't know exactly how much they see, but Paul says this great cloud of witnesses in heaven is not only looking at us, but also surrounding us and cheering us on to finish the race with perseverance. Here's the bottom line. Why can't they finish the race themselves? Why are they up there cheering? Because they're waiting for the last person to finish. They can't finish their race until we all finish ours. Revelations chapter 2 and 3, the Bible tells us that Jesus is watching very closely how events unfold in the lives of God's people. Listen, if Jesus is watching it, then it's entirely possible that those in heaven could also be watching some of it as well. Luke chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Who is doing the rejoicing in this parable that Jesus is telling in verse 7? If you look at the context, it's the inhabitants of heaven who are rejoicing. That means they're aware of things that are going on down here on earth. Here's another question. Will we pray for those in heaven? For those on earth? Now, we saw a moment ago in Revelation 6 that the martyrs in heaven are praying to God, asking him to take specific action here on earth. And since prayer is talking to God, listen, we will pray more in heaven than we ever did here on earth because we will have a much clearer understanding of its power. If we even have an inkling about what is taking place here on earth, we will want to pray for our family members and friends who are coming behind us. Another question. Will we be aware of the bad things that happen on earth? Well, many people believe that people in the present heaven cannot be aware of the actions of people here on earth or the events on earth because it would make them unhappy about all of the evil and all of the suffering going on. And here's what we need to remember. Here's where that comes from. We base that belief on Revelation 21:4, where it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What's happening in Revelations chapter 21 and 22? We're talking about the new heaven and the new earth. It's being established. We're not talking here about the present earth. Christ promises no more tears and no more pain and sorrow in the new heaven. After what the Bible calls the great white throne judgment, the Bible says that the old things are passed away and there's no more suffering here on earth. Now, does that mean that people in heaven are now suffering or they're in pain? No. It just means that there may be an awareness of the suffering and pain going on down here on earth, and there could be a degree of sorrow about that. I like what Randy Alcorn says about this. He says, happiness in heaven is based not on ignorance, but instead on perspective. Here's what he writes. He says, those who live in the presence of Christ find joy in worshiping God and living as righteous beings in rich fellowship in a sinless environment. And because God is continuously at work on earth, the saints watching from heaven have a great deal to praise him for, including God's drawing people on earth to himself. But those in the present heaven are also looking to Christ's return, their bodily resurrection, their final judgment, and the fashioning of the new earth from the ruins of the old. Only then and there in our eternal home will evil and suffering and sorrow be washed away by the hand of God. Only then and there will we experience the fullness of joy intended by God and purchased for us by Christ at an unfathomable cost. Listen, if we believe that our loved ones who have gone us before us are somewhat aware of what's going down here on earth, and they are cheering us on to follow Christ and finish well, then we can assume that they are not hopelessly saddened or grieved by the challenges we're facing. Their perspective has changed. They have a new outlook on life, and they're confident that God is working behind the scenes for your good. They see it from a completely different lens. So, the question then is, how can we prepare ourselves for the here and now? Here's the first thing. We need to secure our place. We need to secure our place. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. In other words, you can know for sure. When you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone to be your personal Savior, you can know for sure that you have a home in heaven. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you've never made that decision, I'm going to give you a chance to do that in just a few moments. Here's the second thing. Not only do we need to secure our place, but if we've already done that, we need to live our lives in view of eternity. When Amy and I got engaged in August of 1992, we set our wedding date for December 19, 1992. We weren't in for long engagements. It's like, let's plan this wedding, let's get this done, all right? So I took Amy to a riverboat cruise called the Virginia Dare in Smith Mountain Lake in the middle of Virginia. It's beautiful. And I dropped down on a knee and asked her if she would marry me. I gave her a shiny ring. She said yes. And I'm telling you, from that moment on, guess what we were thinking about? A wedding. Everything. We went into wedding mode. Everything changed for us. Everything was all about the wedding day and our lives together after that day. Listen, if you are a follower of Jesus, that's how God wants you to live your life. God wants our lives now to live our lives now with eternity in mind. If you have made a decision to follow Jesus, your focus, your mind, your attention, everything about us should be focused on eternity. That doesn't mean we bury our heads in the sands, but it does mean that we live as if we're aliens and strangers here on this earth. We don't let the worries and the concerns of this world overwhelm us. We live for eternity. You say, why would I do that? Because there are eternal ramifications for how we're living our lives right now. When we live for the benefits of today, we do not get the benefits of tomorrow. That's why God encourages us to live for his kingdom and to let where we are going influence how we live right now. I love how Pastor Tony Evans says this. He says, because when heaven's destiny drives earth's decisions, then we have a better life on earth and we have greater rewards in heaven. Author John Brevere says this, what we do with the cross determines where we will spend eternity. However, the way we live as believers determines how we will live in the forever. Did you hear that? What we do with the cross determines where we will spend eternity. However, the way we live as believers determines how we will live in the forever. I'm going to ask you to bow your head for just a moment. If you have never secured your place in eternity, in other words, you're not quite sure what would happen to you if you were to die today or if Christ were to come back, it is time for you to nail that down. The Bible says you can know. You can know. You can know that when you die, you can know where you're going. And here's the truth. Once you die, that decision has been determined. There is no going back. There are no second chances. That's how important this decision is. You see, I'd like to put my faith and trust in Jesus today. I'd like to say yes to his offer of salvation and forgiveness of sin. And not just eternity in heaven, but new life here on earth. I'd like to say yes to that. Then pray with me right now. Say, Lord, at this moment, I put all of my faith and all of my trust in you alone. I ask you, Jesus, to be my Lord and my Savior. I humble my heart at this very moment, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I repent of them. Change my mind about them. Jesus, everything that you did for me on the cross was more than enough. I could never earn what God is offering me and giving to me at this moment. It's all about what Jesus has done for me. So I receive that into my life, and I thank you for it. And right now I ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. If you are praying that with me right now, I want you to get out the Get Connected card in the seat pocket in front of you. If you're in the front row, you can get one in the seat behind you, or in the pocket behind you. Check the box that says, today I pray to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And just drop it in the offering buckets on the way out or take it to the Help Center. We would love to help you to take your next step into following Jesus, into becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus, to really help you to know what does it mean to live a life in view of eternity. So many people have taken that next step here today. You've watched them. They got baptized. We'd love for that to be your story as well and to help lead you in that. We have a class called First Steps that we'd love to tell you about. If you're here today and, you know, maybe your life has been nothing about eternity, but you know you're a follower of Jesus. You know where you're going when you die. You're confident of that, but you've gotten so caught up in the things of this world. And I'm just reminded, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what does God promise? He says, all these things will be added unto you. He said, you keep your focus on my kingdom, advancing my kingdom, and I'll take care of what you believe to be your little kingdom. I'll take care of that for you. Some of you today, maybe that's a decision you need to make. Lord, help me to get my mind off of all of this temporary stuff and get my focus back on eternity. Help me to remember that I am, and the Bible says I'm an alien, I'm a stranger in this world. My home is eternity. My home is actually heaven. Help me to live for that. Help me to live with eternity in view. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's been a good morning. It's been a good morning.